Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to the Chemist Corner Podcast for Tuesday, December 13th, 2011. Welcome to Chemist Corner. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski, who Google lists as the funniest cosmetic chemist in the world. Of course, Google also lists me as the funniest looking cosmetic chemist in the world, so I don't know how much faith I put in their results. Chemist Corner is a podcast about cosmetic science and is broadcast to help educate, entertain, and inspire current and future cosmetic scientists. The information and opinions discussed on Chemist Corner are those of the hosts and the guests alone. They do not necessarily reflect those of any past, present, or future employers. Hello everyone, it's great to be back. I hope you're enjoying this holiday season and the easy pace that is typical of most cosmetic labs during December. I recall lots of holiday parties, lunches, and festivities at my old job. The extra pastries brought in by the raw material suppliers were always especially appreciated. We've got a great show for you today, in which we will feature an interview with Gina Cosby, a formulation specialist from surfactant maker Rhodia. Of course, they might be called Avonic now, but the company was recently purchased, but it's very difficult to keep up. Gina will describe her experience of entering the industry and talk about the most interesting aspects of her job as a cosmetic scientist. But before we get to the interview, let's take a look at some cosmetic science stories that have been interesting to me. Here's one about age-old remedies and how they can really be the next anti-aging treatments. If your marketing department is asking you for the latest and greatest anti-aging ingredients, as they might do, you might consider using some classics. Researchers at London's Kingston University claim that they have evidence that white tea, witch hazel, and rose have potential health and beauty properties. Supposedly, these ingredients are effective in blocking the progression of inflammation. It turns out inflammation is believed to be one of the primary causes of aging. And actually, anybody who is a fan of Dr. Perricone will know all about inflammation and the damage that he says it causes. The research team tested 21 plant extracts for evidence of their ability to fight against cancer and against aging. White tea, witch hazel, and rose showed the most potential. They suggested that if you drank a cup of white tea every day, you might help reduce your chances of cancer, arthritis, and even age-associated wrinkles. Color me a little skeptical on this one, though. The work was all done on skin cell culture, so there is no human studies, no actual practical applications. Also, they are projecting results without having any real solid basis for doing so. This is all conjecture. But this is the kind of thing that cosmetic marketing people would love to see, and it's some sort of science that can help back up the story of a cosmetic. So, feel free to tell your marketing people about this. I should just point out, one of my favorite parts of this article is where they say, they end the article, experts are astonished to see these results. That's really such a press release statement. You see that all over the place. I mean, really, who are these astonished experts that are astonished by these results? I mean, it's not surprising that we find natural ingredients that can have some positive results. I don't know how finding that out would be astonishing to any scientist or expert in the field. The next story I saw was one about gluten in cosmetics. It's an interesting story that was recently covered in Cosmetics and Toiletries. There is a movement afoot by researchers to require the identification of gluten in cosmetics. Researchers presented at the American College of Gastroenterology, say that a couple times, meeting in Washington last month, saying that celiac patients may have a bad reaction to cosmetics that contain gluten. If you don't know, people with celiac disease have an allergy to gluten and gluten-containing foods, and so they actually have to be on a special diet where they cannot eat anything with gluten. One researcher said she had a patient who suffered gastrointestinal complications and a skin rash after using a body lotion with gluten in it. And when she stopped using the body lotion, then the problems went away. This caused her to look into the subject, and the scientists got together and they expressed a belief that they would like to see claims like gluten-free or gluten-containing on cosmetic labels in the future. So look for a push to do this. It seems pretty strange to me, though, because I've always been under the impression that gluten in personal care products isn't really a problem for people with celiac disease. The only trouble with gluten is when it is ingested, so the only real concern would be lip products or oral care products. When you put on a lotion, it's not going to get into your bloodstream, so people who have a problem with gluten, well, there's really no reason that they should have a problem. And it seems to me using a single case, seems pretty silly to me. I mean, the patient could have been allergic to some other aspect of the lotion that to cause the problems. So I don't really find this terribly convincing that this is a problem that needs solving. However, I should mention that I once had an idea to launch a line of cosmetics specifically for people who are sensitive to gluten. The thing that always held me back was that, you know, I believed it was just a perceived problem and not an actual problem. And that's what in the research I did with this, that's what I found. Most doctors were saying, in fact, almost all doctors were saying that gluten in personal care products wouldn't be a problem for someone with celiac disease. Well, it turns out maybe this might make me change my mind. Perhaps the world really is ready for a gluten-free line of personal care products. Cosmetic science tips. Here's some tips about innovation and being a cosmetic chemist. As a cosmetic formulator, you have a tough task. You have to make great new formulas that consumers love, your marketing department loves, and they have to be better and unique compared to anything on the market. But in a mature industry like the cosmetic industry, making truly new breakthrough advancements is pretty tough. And it's made tougher because of the following forces working against innovation. So number one is that the force against innovation is that the current formulas already work. Sure, there might be complaints about greasiness or weighing down hair, but almost any consumer can find a formula that works for them that's already on the market. And if consumers are generally happy with the products that exist, there isn't much room for you to create ones that are better. So the solution to this problem that inhibits innovation is you have to challenge yourself to come up with completely new formula types that would never be launched. For example, try an oil-based shampoo or a spray-on skin lotion. It's in building these extremes that you might be able to come up with truly novel and revolutionary products. Number two force against innovation is the regulatory environment. The regulatory departments are out to protect the company from liability lawsuits. So they are generally not interested in your new innovations. In fact, if you ask permission to use an ingredient, a regulatory department is usually going to say no rather than yes. They have no downside to saying no to things, and there is downside to saying yes if a problem ever arises. So the solution to this is, the first thing I would suggest is don't ask your regulatory people whether you should investigate an ingredient. They will typically say no, or they'll point out all the problems with using an ingredient. I say investigate the ingredient first, then ask forgiveness later. I mean, in truth, most of the stuff that you look at is not going to be special enough to warrant moving forward. But if you do find something special, something that has a really proven new benefit and just an awesome benefit, well, then if you could prove it's truly revolutionary, your company will find a way to get your regulatory people to discover loopholes or to find some other way to use this raw material. So that's how you can get around the regulatory problems. Another force against innovation is that it can be hard to understand. Innovative products are often hard for people to understand. This makes them more inclined to ignore them and even work against seeing the product succeed. One example is when I was in the shampoo business, I was trying to get a product out there, which was a powdered shampoo, a dry shampoo. And for people who are used to selling regular shampoos, it's very difficult to get them to understand why anybody would want to use a powdered shampoo. But turns out the product made the market, so there you go. The way that you can get around this problem of your innovation being hard to understand is that you can create prototypes that so obviously show the benefit of your claims that people will just automatically understand. So there's nothing like a prototype to help you display an idea. The number four problem against innovation is there's a push for cost savings. Companies are frequently more interested in finding ways to make cheaper formulas than making ones that work better. One of the solutions to this is that you could use cost savings exercises like, say, a knockout experiment to find formula changes that you normally wouldn't consider. These could lead to some completely different formula types. For example, what would a skin moisturizer that was completely water-based look like? So no oils in there. It's just an interesting exercise. And the final thing that might inhibit innovation is that the things that work are drugs. The biggest problem in the area of cosmetic science are things that are unlikely to be fixed by cosmetic formulas. Things like cosmeceuticals are technically drugs. So what is the solution is, look to the coatings industry for some new product ideas. Cosmetics films have really been under-investigated, in my estimation, and could lead to some interesting non-drug solutions. It's tough these days being a cosmetic chemist because, you know, there are a lot of hurdles to innovation. But the good news is it's not impossible. Think about the pressures against innovation and work hard to overcome them. It really would be nice to see the next generation of cosmetic formulas that work better and don't require marketing messages to convince us that they're different.
Gina Cosby is a technical service scientist currently working for Rhodia. She has focused primarily on the formulation of surfactant and conditioner blends, esters for skincare, and creating other sample formulations for personal care and the cosmetic industry. Gina received her BS in chemistry from Purdue University and was also the winner of the Society of Cosmetic Chemists Young Scientist Award in 2006. Welcome to the program, Gina.
Thank you, Perry. Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you on the program. While we've chatted a lot at various SEC meetings, I haven't really gotten a chance to learn much about your background and how you ended up in the cosmetic industry. So why don't you first tell us, how did you get started in this industry?
Actually, I kind of fell into this industry. I fell in love with research at Purdue. I did a lot of undergrad research. And a friend of mine that actually did research with me there worked for the McIntyre Group, which is now Rhodia. And he said, hey, you want to come over and work with us? And I started working here in synthesis and formulating both at the same time and fell in love with formulating. So I'm kind of in that world now. Just kind of fell into it.
Well, it's interesting that you were doing some research at the university level. Were you doing graduate research, or this was your undergrad research?
This was undergrad research. So I went from working on the chemistry behind molecular electronics to working in still in the nano world, but on the surfactant level at McIntyre, now Rhodia.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Now, what are kind of some of the differences between the kind of research you did in college and the kind of things that you're doing right now?
There's similarities mostly on the synthesis side. So in college, you're taught mostly the science is all synthesis. And on the industry side, you have to actually show how those molecules work more so. So you do a lot more applications on the industry side in R&D, which is kind of what I like to do more now. So mainly that's there's more application involved on the industry side versus academia.
Yeah, I'm curious, as I've never, in the cosmetic industry, I never really did any synthesis. I was always a formulator. What kind of equipment do you use? You use the same sort of stuff that we use in organic chemistry, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you do organic chemistry reactions, and which is something that I enjoyed as in college, but then I found out right away that I didn't enjoy so much on the industry side.
Right.
But it is it's all organic, your typical reactions, which at first I was very comfortable with that side of what I was doing in R&D because it was familiar to me. But then you can take those molecules that you're making in the hood, in the lab, and actually prove what, you know, what they can do. And that's more a creative side of me that I enjoy doing.
Yeah, like synthesizing is really a step away from, you know, any sort of practical use, right?
It is, and it isn't. I mean, you have to know the chemistry behind things. For me, it's easier to, now that I have that background, to relate what the molecule is actually doing in your cosmetic product. So I can actually relate chemistry to the application in your shampoos, conditioners, lotions, you name it, and mostly the rinse off cosmetic product market. So just knowing how the molecules go together, how they work, and what they're doing, it's easier for me to formulate a shampoo, for example.
It sounds like you've done a lot of formulating. What kind of things have you created in the lab?
Well, I create, I like to kind of relate everything back to food. So if you see recipe books, like, for example, Kraft puts out, you know, a whole entire recipe book of everything that features their Kraft-made products.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of do the same thing at Rhodia, where I formulate sample recipes for what we call the formulary. And so I try to use, you know, Rhodia-made products and how they interact with other companies' products as well.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly rinse-off, shampoo, conditioners. We did have a whole entire leave-on skincare line at one point, so I formulated in that arena for quite some time. So kind of a little bit of everything.
Have you ever had a chance to do any color cosmetics?
We started to get into that a little bit before the acquisition, and it's highly interesting. I think there's a lot of potential there for cosmetic scientists to get involved, and it's a lot of fun, actually. So we did get into pigment wetting and looking at different esters that had those properties, and looking at the chemistry behind that and how that could help a formulation scientist make something that, you know, new, innovative, and wonderful.
That sounds like one of the most fun things about working for a supplier rather than working for a finished goods, because you actually get a chance to work on almost any kind of formula you want, huh?
That's correct. There's a lot of room for creativity where we can formulate just different, just, you know, out of curiosity. I wonder if this, you know, this surfactant, what will happen when I mix it with, you know, ingredient X, and just kind of a lot of freedom to design, you know, example formulations that in the end helps our finished goods side.
So tell me about this formulary. You guys create formulas and you put a formulary. Is this something that Rhodia shares with cosmetic chemists in the industry?
Yes, actually, we do share mostly on Innovidex.com. Yeah, so we post a lot there, and also in industry magazines like Happy and a little bit in C&T. And, of course, you know, we're here, too, to answer questions. We don't have a formulation for every single ingredient because we do sell a lot of different ingredients, but we will be able to use some of our formulations as a guide to assist and help kind of lead the formulator in the right direction with our products. So it's kind of a way to get an idea, just like a recipe would be for food, and then you can kind of modify it, add your own ingredients that you find interesting, and kind of create your own marketing around, you know, an example formulation.
It sounds like you do a lot of formulating, but it also sounds like you do some customer service. Is that what a tech service person does in their job?
Yes. I'm part of the technical service group, so I technically support our whole entire product range on both personal care as well as home care side, and I support that, you know, directly by talking with customers directly, as well as our sales team, both on the distribution side and, you know, internally the key account.
You mentioned home care. Now, a lot of cosmetic industry suppliers also have home care. Is there a lot of overlap in the compounds used in home care and in personal care?
There actually is. There's a lot of overlap. We use the same ingredients. You just use use them differently. You use them at different levels, you know, for just different applications. So there are overlap, especially with liquid dish soap and a shampoo would, for example, be very similar. But you just add more of an anionic in a liquid dish versus, you know, a shampoo.
Right. I guess the primary difference is you're trying to get the liquid detergent to not foam so much.
Yes. So you'll use a lot of different, the same chemistries, but you can modify them so that they don't foam as high. So they'll be, shorter carbon chains, for example. So just kind of, that's kind of getting that chemistry back in there and just understanding what they could do makes it easier to formulate.
It sounds like a lot of fun. What do you think is the most fun part about your job?
The most fun part is I like to talk to various, a lot of our customers and just see what they're doing and learn from them. So we're constantly learning. I like to learn from our customers as well as, educate, and learn internally too, and just kind of relate science into the cosmetic world. I know that that sometimes is kind of almost forgotten. It could be, but it's kind of fun just to see, what things can do, what people can do, and just kind of learn and create. So it's a lot of fun just formulating and talking with people.
It seems like some people can get through their whole careers and not look at a chemical structure in the cosmetic industry.
And that's true. You don't need to know the chemistry. It's like cooking, I, for example, I'm a consumer as well too, and I don't know what every single thing does. And it's, it is interesting that I've learned how to cook just from learning how to formulate soap.
Yeah, there is a huge overlap between the two.
Right. So, and you could be an awesome, an awesome cook and, not know anything about the chemistry. It's the same with formulating cosmetics. I just find it for myself very interesting to kind of know that side and apply it and an application in a practical way.
I too, I like to, I certainly like to know the science and the practical applications, but you definitely could be a good formulator without knowing a lot of the science.
Exactly. And that's why, there's people like me where you don't need to know all that. I can kind of steer you in the right direction on what products to use, and just, just knowing that, having that chemistry background, and just help a formulator that's just trying to, get out on their own and make their own products. We can, definitely help with guiding them towards the right chemistries to use.
Now, Rhodia is one of the bigger cosmetic suppliers, and what kind of range of compounds do you guys sell?
We sell in multiple industries, and we're divided into multiple groups where I'm not even sure everything that we sell. But in my division, we're into surfactants, so things that are the detergents in your personal care products, and a lot of specialty polymers, which help with conditioning. We have natural and synthetic polymers, and various conditioning agents in our line. Those are the main products that make up our line, but we also do have rheology modifiers or thickeners, and other specialty type blends and conditioning concentrates.
And you have the preservatives too.
We do have preservatives as well, and we have and we try to, we have a whole entire range. So whatever you're looking for, that you need to preserve, and whatever claims you're trying to make, we have a solution to all the market claims.
A person could really go through your catalog and create a completely finished product just using your products, right?
They could, but I mean, we don't have a lot of the, we don't have extracts or the kind of fun ingredients that make, the product claims 100%, but you can make a wonderful product with all Rhodia stuff if you wanted to. And you can make it easily too. We do sell kind of blends that you dilute down and, just add fragrance and preservative, and you've got a shampoo very, very easily.
Yeah, that was one of the most clever things that because you guys used to call on me when you were McIntyre, but that was one of the most clever things that you guys had was the, I think it was a conditioner, it was a conditioner base, and all you had to do was add water, and you got this conditioner.
Yep. We kind of try and make it as easy as we can, just by getting the right ratios and concentrating them up. And that's part of our line, where you just dilute, you have to heat it up, and you create an emulsion very easily with conditioners.
It's very cool. Let's get to new people coming into the industry. Now, you went from college and you went right to the cosmetic industry. What kind of advice would you have for somebody who might be in college, in a college lab right now, and they want to get into the industry, or they want to learn, they want to know if the cosmetic industry is for them?
I would highly recommend to get involved with the Society of Cosmetic Chemists. That's where I've made a lot of my contacts. And as you know, our industry, you know, the more networking you do, the more you learn and the more people you meet to kind of guide you in the right direction. And you can be a member as a student, and we do have, you know, there are scholarships available, and we've got a lot of information on that website. So the Society of Cosmetic Chemists, I would highly recommend to get involved and look at different events that are going on within that organization.
That's a great point. I too found the Society really, really helpful just to meet all the people in the industry, and you do certainly learn a lot.
Right, exactly.
So then, finally, Gina, you've been in the industry for a little while and you've seen some changes, but how do you think cosmetics are changing in the future? Like, how will the cosmetic chemist job be different in the future?
You can't predict the future completely, and that's what's fun about the cosmetic world is everything's always changing. There's always a new trend, you know, or a new movement going on. Just, you know, from my personal opinion and just looking at what's going on lately, there's safecosmetics.org, you know, there's different, like a push more for regulations that are more like government. So I see, you know, a little bit kind of going down as a cosmetic chemist where you might need to get your products, you know, looked at by another party before you put it on the shelf, which isn't a bad thing. And I mean, as a supplier, I know that, you know, all of the ingredients we're selling, we do test for safety like crazy. So they are already being tested, although, you know, it is still, you know, when a formulator puts it together, they might need to actually put it one step through another party. So for cosmetic, you know, scientists, third-party testing jobs and getting into that side, there might be a little bit of a change.
Yeah, I did see a big movement towards more regulation and made it a little harder to be a formulator.
I don't think it would be harder. I think it would just, I think that would help, you know, because I know people come to us about, you know, preservatives. It would just help them to kind of guide them towards, you know, what to do. And everybody wants to make a safe product that works. So there would probably be a little bit more guidance on that side of the industry.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Well, thanks so much for coming to the program, Gina. I enjoyed talking with you.
You're welcome. It was great to be here, and thank you very much.
Well, that brings us to the end of our show. Thanks so much for listening. One of the things that keeps us really motivated to do this show on a regular basis is the excellent comment and feedbacks that we get from everyone. It really does brighten my day to hear from you. So if you hear something on the podcast or read something on the blog, feel free to comment or leave a post. And if you have any suggestions of people who might make good interviews, just contact me through the Contact Us button. A couple of announcements. The next installment of the Complete Cosmetic Chemist series is launching soon. It'll be natural and green formulating. You can already get a free report to see that, and many of you are on the email list, so you could get that. If you haven't got that, go to the website and check out the free report on green formulation. And we'll get you an announcement when the official launch date is. As always, please go to the Cosmetic Science Forum and participate in discussions about cosmetic chemistry. So far, we've got over 500 members, and there's always some interesting things being discussed there. We could really use some expertise or some questions for our experts to answer. You can get there from the main website, chemistcorner.com, and of course, it's free to join up. If you appreciate the work we do here at Chemist Corner, the best way for you to help is to follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. So if you are on one of those, and of course we'll follow you back too, our Twitter account is Chemist's Corner, and you can find us on Facebook by just looking up Cosmetic Chemist Corner. That's all I got. Thanks everyone. Now go make a difference.